Life Audio.
Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. On today's episode, we want to talk about the Doctrine of Ministry, Part 2. The Doctrine of Ministry, Part 2. And after a word from our sponsors, we'll get started on the topic today.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And if you listen to our previous episode, we introduced this subject on our first broadcast a week ago, dealing with the doctrine of ministry. There's teachings regarding ministry that all Christians should know and that all Christians should embrace. We talked about the word ecclesia, that means called out, to serve, called out to be part of God's work, called out to proclaim God's message, called out to be a good neighbor. We've been called forth. We've been summoned. We've been empowered. We've been lifted up. And this was a quote by Dr. Frederica Thompson. And so we've been called. We've been called. It's not just your pastor that's been called. You've been called. And we don't have to get a title inside the church in order to serve. God has already given us a title. And there's no greater title than the title that starts with the S word, the S letter, servant. Servant. That's all we need. We don't need people creating these fancy titles. We don't need people misappropriating biblical titles to seem grand, to seem as though they're better than other people, to seem as though they're more important than other Christians. It's interesting how people want to take on certain titles, but they don't take on the title that God has given us, which is servant. All of us are servant. At the core of who we are servants. And that term servant is important. If we think of ourselves as ministers, not ordained clergy in a sense, but ministers, all of us have been called to be ministers. All of us serve. All of us should serve, rather. All of us should profess. All of us should be reading the Word of God. All of us should be studying the Word of God. All of us should be interested in witnessing for Jesus Christ. Everybody, it seems like everybody else around us, seem to be sharing their view of life without shame. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people are sharing their views on TikTok, and they're sharing their views on YouTube. They're sharing their views on Instagram, and they're sharing their views certainly on Facebook and all these other social media platforms. Everybody's sharing their views. And I must say, I applaud those Christians who are on these platforms who are bold enough to share their faith and to talk about Jesus Christ. That's important. They're fulfilling the mandate that God has called them to. And so I'm encouraging you, as you listen, don't allow your Christianity to just be an adjective. Our Christianity should also be a verb. The Christians in the first century, they were called people of the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And many theologians surmise that's why they were called people of the way, because Jesus said he was the way. And so these disciples, these apostles, they went forth to talk about the way to salvation, the way to kingdom building, the way to everlasting peace, the way to joy, the way to long suffering. Jesus is the way. So we that are Christians, we have been called by God to be people of the way. And that's embodied, or that's actualized by either being in ministry on a local level, being in ministry on a global level, but being in ministry. All of us should be in ministry. Doesn't matter what gift God has given you. If you are a mechanic, you've been called by Christ himself to be the greatest mechanic, but using your ability to fix automobiles to the glory of God. So it's not just about fixing automobiles. No, there are people that don't know Jesus that fix automobiles. It's about you looking for an opportunity. Maybe a customer is having a bad day, for you to speak truth into their life, for you to be able to witness about Jesus Christ. One of my coworkers just gave a testimony a few days ago. He was talking about how he was running an errand and went to the bank. And on his way out, he saw someone who was having car issues. So he listened to the Spirit. He went back and asked that person if he needed assistance. And he realized that he didn't have what it was necessary to help this gentleman. So he told the gentleman, "Well, I have a AAA membership." So he called AAA, and they came and were able to assist this gentleman. But while he was waiting on AAA, he started talking to him and realized that this gentleman used to be a former member of his church, of our church. And he shared with them, and he realized soon that this whole situation was not about this man's car, but it was about the opportunity to speak life to this man, to remind him of what Jesus was calling him to do, to remind him to come back to church, to remind him to not forsake the assembly of the saints, to remind him that Christian fellowship was important. So when he was sharing with him, the man was so blessed. He thanked him, and they both realized that it really wasn't about the car, that God was using this as an opportunity for him to come back to church and to become active. So it's not enough for your name to be on the church's roll. We need to be active. All of us need to be part of a ministry. Then the other thing is, when we look at the first century Christians, we're talking about ministry. They were engaged in ministry. They were about the Father's business. They were out sharing the gospel. They were out ministering to the widows. They were out there serving food. They were out there praying. They were out there discipling. And, of course, they had to eventually deal with the administrative issues that came up with some in the group. But it's all part of ministry. So when you're saved, the next step is to be discipled, but while you're being discipled, we still sharing the good news. And then we're praying for God to use our unique talents to glorify him. How should I be plugged in at my church? We have a covenant mandate between ourselves. All of us, if you're part of a local church, you have a covenant with the other members. We are all in this together, and it's called a covenant relationship. Believers, right, when we first come to Christ, many of us come with our own biases. Many of us come with our own mindset of how we think church is or how church ought to be. When we first join a church, many of us come with our own preconceived expectations. We want it to be this way. We want it to be this long. And we think church is about this, church is about that, especially if you have little experience being in church when you first become a member. What we need to think about is the duty of the church. The duty of the church is to create opportunities for each member to be exposed to teachings based on God's word, not our individual biases. Let us take a break to recognize our sponsors, and we'll be right back. So what's happening is we have people coming into the church, and instead of the church promoting the principles of Scripture, the standards of Scripture, some churches are acquiescing to the will of the individual members. And so they're diluting what the Bible is expecting for our churches to follow. The Bible is the priority, and everything we do inside the church must be built on the foundations of Scripture, not necessarily what I think or necessarily what you think. What I think or what you think ought to be filtered by the Word of God. So it's the church's job to create Bible studies, to create small groups, and to create ministry opportunities based on Scripture, not based on my personal experiences alone. My personal experiences need to be vetted by God's word, not based on my philosophies alone. My philosophy need to be filtered through the word of God, not through my previous relationships. My previous relationships need to be filtered by the word of God, not based on my previous church experiences. My previous church experiences ought to be filtered by the word of God. It's not a wise decision if a church doesn't have mandates built on Scripture, then they'll find themselves establishing things that even God hasn't endorsed. So it's important for each church, each Bible teaching church, to set up foundational opportunities for people to learn what God's will is as it relates to ministry, what God's will is as it relates to Bible study, what God's will is as it relates to leadership. All of this has to be filtered through the word of God. So we, as leaders of the church, we have to make sure that everything we teach is biblical, that everything we teach involves maximum participation. We can't force people to get involved in ministry, but we have to teach it plainly so people understand what the expectation is. The expectation is, if you joined a local body, don't join solely because you like the pastor's style of preaching. Don't join solely because you like the pastor's style of teaching. The standard that ought to be used is this pastor biblical? Is this pastor teaching sound doctrine? And then the next step is, are they creating opportunities for me to learn what sound doctrine is, for me to learn the doctrines concerning Jesus Christ and what is healthy versus unhealthy doctrine? Then the next step is, how do I get connected to a ministry so I can be used by God the way that he wants to use me? So if I'm good at administration, then I need to be part. I need to look into using my gift as an administrator. Right. We have to know what our gifts are. If I'm good with hospitality, then perhaps I need to be in the guest services ministry. And again, the Holy Spirit will confirm it. So we need to be connected. Whatever your gift is, God is calling you to exercise it. Human beings will inevitably interpret the situation in which they live, but their interpretation can be misinformed. This is why it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that when an individual joins church, we allow them to be exposed to what God is expecting and not necessarily what that individual is expecting. We need to trade in our desires for God's desires. We need to trade in our pedagogy for God's theology. We need to trade in our worldview for God's view. So when we join church, many of us, we come to God with our own subjective biases. And some of it is misinformed. Some of it is idolatrous. Some of it is irrelevant. Some of it is racist. Some of it is superficial. And some of it is indifferent towards truth. You'll be surprised. If you ever get a chance, go to Barna Research Group, B-A-R-N-A, and look at the different statistics they have as it relates to why people join church. But many people join church with a totally foreign, unbiblical view of what church is. So when people come to church, it is the church's job to teach what God's view is, not the popular view of this century, not the popular view of Christendom, not the popular view of gospel entertainment, but what is the word of God saying? The word of God is timeless. Why? Because the word of God is rooted in God's truth, and God's truth is eternal. And whatever is eternal is transcended beyond time. So it doesn't matter what people are doing. What matters is what people ought to be doing. And that's what the word of God does for us. When these false views that we bring into the church occurs, then it loses the dialects of suspicion and hope that originates in the gospel. So there is a dialect in theology that we find in the gospel, which becomes diluted when we acquiesce to people's false theologies that they come to church with. We shouldn't be diluting God's message to appease people. We should be asking the people to acquiesce to God's word. We ought to be changing, not changing the word of God to fit people's subjective lifestyles. So again, there are things in, as it relates to joining the church that we have to know or that we must learn. The first thing the church has to teach is the doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of salvation. Why are we saved? What does it mean to be saved? Right? A lot of people use this term, I'm saved. I'm a Christian and I'm saved. What does that mean? When we talk about salvation, right, we're talking about why we accepted Jesus Christ. And the question that I ask people when they say they're saved, my question to them is, from what to what? From what have you been saved from, right? What have you been saved from to what have you been saved to? When you say that I'm saved, Jesus saved me from my wicked ways, and he saved me to a lifestyle of righteousness. Jesus saved me from envy, and he saved me to being happy that God is blessing other people. So we need to be able to articulate these terms that we use inside the church. If we're going to be part of ministry, we have to know the lingo of the Bible. And in the English, we have the word salvation. And the question is, what have you been saved from and what have you been saved to? So salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. Let me say that again. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost us everything that we have. Jesus died on a cross for us. He's already paid the price. So salvation is free in that sense, even though it cost Jesus. The blood came at a cost. The perfect lamb was slain. So even though salvation may be free to us, it cost Jesus. But discipleship does cost us something. Discipleship will cost us time. Discipleship cost us to use our own money that God has given us. Discipleship will cost us some friends, will cost us some family members in order to be obedient to Jesus. Some people don't want a holy lifestyle. Some people don't want to hear about the truth of the gospel, so they don't want to walk with you anymore. People that used to walk with you, now that you're following Jesus Christ, some don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to be convicted because of how you're living now, because of who you're following. And so we pray for those people, but it's going to cost you something as a disciple. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody is going to understand why you sacrifice the things that you sacrifice. So we have to be careful. So salvation is important. When we become a Christian, our minds have to be transformed, right? Romans reminds us in chapter 12 that we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then I'm paraphrasing. It says that we may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is your reasonable service. So salvation is an important aspect when we join church. Then when we join church, we should join church to learn more about Jesus, right? We should join church, number one, to learn about salvation. What is salvation all about? Then number two, we should join church, right? Because if we're going to minister, we have to know what the assignment is. We have to know why we need to minister. And that's what the local church body does, or the Bible studies that we have in our homes. That's what they do. Even though it may not be a big church, maybe you're part of a home church. But whatever you call it, the group of baptized believers that have been called forth, that have been summoned, we are a church. We are the ecclesia. So God wants us to learn about salvation. Then the second thing is he wants us to learn about Christology. And that term Christology simply means the study of Christ. What do we know about Jesus? What should we know about Jesus? Right? We should know, number one, about the ontology, meaning the nature of Jesus Christ. What is he like? In the Bible, we see many descriptions of who Jesus is in terms of his nature. Philippians 2nd chapter tells us that he emptied himself into a body, right? Meaning that he added humanity. He did not lose any divinity. That's the ontological nature of Jesus Christ. He added on humanity, and he didn't lose any divinity. So he's not like what the Jehovah Witnesses say, is that he's the firstborn of all creation, in the sense that God the Father created him. So he's a second G. He's a second God. He's a lower God. No, Jesus is equal to the Father. So we must know these things in terms of Jesus Christ. That's the study of Jesus Christ. And the reason why that's important is because it's important to God. The law of identity is important to God. God wants us to tell the truth about Jesus. Even Jesus says in the last days, there'll be those that say, did I not heal in your name? Did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not perform all these miracles in your name? And Jesus says, I'm going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. So just because somebody used the name Jesus doesn't mean necessarily that they're talking about the same authentic Jesus that we're talking about. So talking about the authentic Jesus, the biblical Jesus, is important to God. So we study about Jesus, right? We study about Christ, who he is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's also described in Revelations as well as in the Old Testament as Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. Jesus is eternal. Then in John, the book of the Gospel of John unveils the real Jesus to us. It says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So Jesus is divine. Jesus is the only God-man truly that ever traversed this earth. And I just love talking about the Christology of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful subject. And oftentimes I hold classes on it. And if you ever interested, as we come to a close, visit us on srministries.org. We thank you for your prayers, and we definitely we encourage you to support us financially. If you can, go to srministries.org. And remember to continue to do for the truth what so many do for a lie. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time, and remember, Titus 1:9 says, "Hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
And as always, we would like to thank our friends at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this broadcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and a lot more. Please connect to lifeaudio.com. God bless.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.